The future of work isn't at work at all. It's everywhere. So get the power of the nation's largest gig speed network with Comcast Business. It can deliver gig speeds to the most businesses so you can do more than bounce back. You can bounce forward. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, February 16th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. While the U.S. is home to many of the world's largest tech companies, the government has been deadlocked on federal privacy standards to regulate those companies. Now, it appears that several other major countries, from China to Brazil, are considering measures of their own. Coming up, our cybersecurity reporter David Uberti will explain what that could mean for American interests and for the companies the laws would affect. That's after these headlines. We report that the Pentagon is pushing to increase the U.S. military's use of automation and that they're outpacing commercial automation efforts. That's according to current and former national security and industry officials. The military has been moving to use technologies like autonomous helicopters, ships, and jets in order to counter American adversaries' technological advances. But unlike commercial automation, there aren't regulators and outsiders to scrutinize the Pentagon's efforts. And skeptics worry that automated systems tend to reflect software developers' desire to incorporate new capabilities without full testing. The lightly moderated social media network Parler has resurfaced online. You might remember that the platform went dark last month when several big tech companies effectively blocked Parler in the wake of the deadly Capitol riot. The site now offers users the ability to create new accounts or reactivate existing ones. New community guidelines posted on Parler's website say that the platform is, quote, viewpoint neutral, and that the company would not knowingly allow it to be used as a tool for illegal activity. And Valentine's Day was over the weekend, and new data shows that more of us still looking for that special someone are doing so online. 8 of the largest dating apps, including Tinder, Bumble, and Hinge, saw nearly 13% year-over-year increase in monthly active users last quarter. It's the biggest jump like that in nearly 2 years, according to the data tracker Apptopia. The growing interest in dating apps comes as people have been spending more time online during the pandemic. But a Match Group executive said she expects the trend to continue as lockdowns ease and people are able to use the apps to meet up for dates in person. All right, coming up after the break, how impending privacy laws outside the U.S. could impact business inside of it. That's next.
The future of work isn't at work at all. It's everywhere. So get the power of the nation's largest gig speed network with Comcast Business. It can deliver gig speeds to the most businesses so you can do more than bounce back. You can bounce forward. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
As we've discussed, the pandemic has forced much more of the global economy online. That's caused many countries to take a fresh look at their corporate privacy standards, and in some cases, set those standards for the first time. Some experts warn that this bevy of potential regulations in major markets abroad could lead to a balkanization of the internet, with potential ramifications for U.S. companies and internet users. Our cybersecurity reporter David Uberti has been following this, and he joins me now to discuss. Hey, David, thanks for joining me.
Hey, Amanda.
So I want to start out with a really basic question, super high level. When we talk about corporate privacy, what are we actually talking about? What kind of data do laws about corporate privacy actually govern?
So we're talking about the personal information that basically allows the digital economy to function. So with social media companies, that could be the user information that they collect across their various services and how people use them to communicate. For IT or software firms, that could be consumer data that they use to basically hone their products or make software updates to better tailor their products to consumers. For businesses that work across continents, that could be some of their employee information that they need to make HR decisions and whatnot. So it's really a wide ranging set of information that can really vary in terms of definition place by place, which is where we get into these really interesting and tough questions when it comes to how countries really define this information in a legal sense.
Yeah. And let's talk about some of the players that have been setting the rules thus far. Who's really been leading the push and what have they prioritized up to now?
So when it comes to personal data, Europe definitely has the first mover's advantage. They have been very aggressive with their law called the General Data Protection Regulation, which came out a few years back, which essentially set the stage for how many global companies are allowed to collect Europeans' data. And that's basically become the baseline for the global economy to this point. Now, in 2021, privacy experts really expect some other large markets around the world to really step up their efforts to follow suit with Europe. The United States has been deadlocked in recent years over how to approach this issue, with consumer advocates and corporate interests really butting heads over the details. But increasingly, we're seeing countries such as Brazil, India, and China either proposing new laws, ramping up enforcement, or discussing statutes for the first time. And it is the thinking among privacy experts, just by virtue of those being such huge markets, having so many consumers, so many businesses that operate in those places, that could really, in some senses, you know, create a balkanized situation for how data is treated across borders.
Yeah, and let's go into a little more detail there. What are we expecting to see from some of these countries moving forward?
It really depends on sort of the local legal culture. It depends on local surveillance norms. It can depend on the bureaucratic makeup of countries. In many cases, countries are following the baseline set by Europe, with a few interesting and important nuances based on surveillance or their ideas about sort of digital sovereignty, for example. So one of the key questions that a lot of companies are trying to understand as a lot of these parts are moving is to what extent countries will force companies to localize data within their borders. So take India, for example. This has been a big discussion there. If a company is operating within India, if it collects information about Indians, does it need to keep that data within the borders of India? Or can it send it back to the United States, process that data, analyze that data, and hone its product from the United States? Depending on how India comes out in that, how lawmakers in that sense sort of decide that answer, that could really force companies to approach this differently in terms of having more people in India, having more data centers in India, and really trying to, you know, actually switch their products and services in some cases, just to make sure it comports with the laws in any local jurisdiction.
And of course, it's not just India considering new legislation. As you said, we're expecting a bunch of different laws from a bunch of different countries. And it seems like for the companies, becoming compliant in all of these different jurisdictions at once would be a really big challenge. What would that look like for them?
In short, it's pretty difficult. And in general, the largest companies will be able to handle this the best. There was an interesting European court decision this summer, which struck down a key legal mechanism for transferring data between the EU and the US. Basically, EU judges, they said, hey, the United States government conducts surveillance on citizens, so we don't want to subject Europeans' data to that sort of surveillance. And it's really thrown into question how companies can exchange data between those two countries. That's really affecting smaller companies the most. You have larger companies that have large legal teams. They can figure out new legal mechanisms to transfer data between the European Union and the United States. Smaller companies that are trying to get into that market and trying to transfer data between countries, they will have to spend a lot in terms of, you know, building out compliance staffs, hiring lawyers, et cetera. And that could sort of inhibit innovation in some senses. And so if we take that as sort of a microcosm of this increasingly balkanized situation with privacy, you could have a situation globally where that dynamic between the EU and US, where there is a lot of uncertainty about how to exchange data, can also play out between the EU and China, can play out between the US and China, can play out between China and India. And that's really what companies are fearing in the long term.
And you mentioned that all these regulations are being implemented or discussed as the U.S. has been deadlocked over a federal privacy standard. What could these actions from abroad mean for the U.S.'s ability to kind of advance its own priorities and values on the internet?
This is something that lawmakers and privacy experts are increasingly worried about. You know, the U.S., despite the fact that we have the world's largest technology companies, the IT sector and tech sector broadly have just been sort of a rocket ship during the coronavirus pandemic, particularly. They've really powered the U.S. economy over the last year. We're kind of losing ground to some of these other countries that are really setting the rules of the road. As I said, Europe has first movers advantage. They've really sort of set an international baseline. But when you have countries as large as India, or in particular China, that is really trying to sort of figure out how it approaches this, that could really set some new standards for how companies need to take their own approaches. And that could leave some of the United States' prerogatives in terms of its, you know, geopolitical positioning, in terms of how it wants to incentivize, you know, its own companies and other companies from different countries to function, that could play into the global power competition between some of these different regional players.
And finally, I do just want to bring it back to the listener. What could all that mean for them, for individual users of the internet?
I mean, in general, I think privacy experts say having these guardrails in place is good. Just having sort of baseline understanding of what data can be collected by a company like Facebook or Google or much smaller players as well. That said, there is a lot of opacity around how personal data is transferred between countries. I mean, I am on my phone 24/7. I'm on social media apps all the time. I'm using sort of Internet of Things devices that collect data. I really have no idea of where some of that information goes. So I think, you know, having this conversation is generally good to get people sort of aware about, you know, how their data is used in the economy. But I think, you know, despite the fact that there's sort of this emergent baseline globally, there is still a lot of work to be done to inform consumers in terms of to what extent their data is used to really power all this stuff and whether there should be additional guardrails. How countries approach that is to be seen. And I think there's some interesting questions in terms of how different countries approach that in terms of how they prioritize privacy versus security versus innovation.
All right. That's our reporter, David Uberti. Thanks, David.
Thanks, Amanda.
That's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.